What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Is This Gonna Cause an Argument? I am Angel Lakita Moore Tanksley of That Chick Angel TV. I'm one of the hosts, and my other host is to the left of me. Please introduce yourself, sir.
Marcus, a.k.a. Big Tank. It's just Tank, ain't it?
Yeah.
Big Marcus, a.k.a. Tank.
Oh, you don't even know your names no more.
Because I grew up in, well, throughout high school, people call me Big Tank, so.
Oh, I didn't know that. Look, wife of 9 years, and I did not know.
As I said before, it's a lot you don't know.
Oh,
I'm just joking. Come on. Let's get this started. It's getting late.
It's always getting late. Yeah. I don't even know why
we're 20 minutes late. We started earlier, but because our equipment's not working right, we start in 20 minutes later than what we usually do.
It's all good. We'll get done. We'll still get done at a reasonable time. We'll be done before 11 o'clock. So we're still doing good. As always, if you haven't already, please follow this podcast either on SoundCloud or iTunes. Again, it's called Is This Going to Cause an Argument? The visual part of this podcast is on my YouTube channel, That Chick Angel TV. So please run over there and subscribe. There's usually a little bit of footage that obviously you won't see the footage through the podcast, but there's extra dialogue between us that's typically put on my channel. So please go over there. Again, that's That Chick Angel TV. And if you want to keep the convo going or have any questions or topic suggestions, you can always use the hashtag ITGTCAA. Is this going to cause an argument? You can use that on my Twitter, and my handle is @AngelTheActress, or you can again use it on the YouTube channel underneath the video. And follow us on all of our social medias. Marcus is on Periscope at BigMarcus2782. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at AngelTheActress. I'm also on Snapchat. I'm on everything. You can find me. So we are going to jump into this topic of all the craziness that's been happening in the United States. Granted, this what's been happening is not something new. It just feels like it's coming to a head right now.
It's a lot of stuff's coming to light because, as we stated, I think in the Black Lives Matter thing, now people just have cameras now.
Yeah,
all these shootings, all the police harassment, and all that. None of this is new. If you haven't listened to it, please go back and listen to the Black Lives Matter podcast or watch it on YouTube.
We also have a Periscope we recently did on the shootings that's still up if you want to check it out on my Periscope.
Yeah, so none of this stuff is new, and that's what's causing a lot of the outrage, especially from the Black community, is like, all right, this is time for a change. And some people, unfortunately, are going about it in a more violent or more destructive way than others, but
I think
we'll touch base on that too.
I think also the reason why this is all coming to a head is not just the fact that these senseless shootings are happening, is that we're now seeing the televised televised part of the fact that there is no justice for these killings.
Yeah.
You know, we saw it happen with Rodney King when all the police officers got off then. But now we're seeing it more often.
Yeah, and I think it's hitting people a little harder because now you are seeing live deaths on social media and TV. And, you know, and the way things are controlled, they're probably going to start cutting all that stuff from TV just so people don't see it anymore. But I think that has a lot to do with it. Is when you, like Angel, accidentally saw, I think, both shootings.
Yeah.
And she's not one to watch anything like that. She tries to keep herself from seeing that because she knows what it is. She just doesn't want to see it. And the fact that she's watching a video and, you know, watching somebody die, that's not nothing that she ever wants to see.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of people who want to be oblivious or are oblivious to it, now it's starting to hit them like, dang, maybe this is a problem. And other people is like, here we go again. It happens all over again.
Yeah.
And where some of my frustration comes from is these things happen, then it gets put on the back burner for 12 to 18 months, and then all of a sudden there's no justice served. The guy gets administrative leave, or at the most he'll get like a 6-month jail sentence or fired.
Yeah.
You know, but it's paid administrative leave. Like, I'm on right now, feels like I'm on paid administrative leave because I'm on vacation technically right now. So
right.
I'm like, what exactly does that mean? I don't know, but.
So that I feel like I remember putting up a video right after George Zimmerman, who was not a police officer. Okay. He's a regular American citizen when he was acquitted of all charges of with the murder of Trayvon Martin. And I was just so shocked. I was just like, so you can kill someone who you instigated an argument with and be found innocent. And it just did not seem logical to me at all. And for me, the first thing it pointed to was race. But we'll skip ahead. There's obviously been shootings that have happened since Trayvon Martin and prior to Trayvon Martin. But most recently, there were the two deaths. The first one happening that we're talking about on July 5th with Alton Sterling. And then the next one, which was literally the next day, happened to Philando Castile, which his fiance at the time was doing Facebook Live right after he was shot, so we could still see the police officer and her fiance take his last death. And then
In Minnesota was Philando Castile, and then Baton Rouge was Alton Sterling, as most of you may know.
And then the day after that, in we don't know what the correlation, we can assume the correlation, but the day after that, during the Black Lives Matter protest, supposedly one sniper shot and wounded 11 police officers, one civilian, and actually murdered five of those people that he shot. And I say supposedly, it was one, not to say that these police officers didn't get shot. It was just the number of shooters kept changing over the night. So,
I just want to touch base on those. Baton Rouge happened first, right?
Yeah. Let me just say the last one. And then on Sunday, while we were still on vacation, there was another shooting, police shooting, however. So someone murdered three police officers in Baton Rouge on the 17th. Go ahead.
So in Baton Rouge, as the story goes,
the first one
in Baton Rouge, Alton Sterling selling CDs at a store. The store owner knew him and allowed him to sell CDs. Apparently the police got called out on a call saying, I don't know, someone either had a gun or someone was out there. So they weren't called for Alton Sterling. Somehow they end up getting into questioning or, you know, a pissing match with Alton Sterling. And you can see that video. They basically tackled the guy, wrestled him to the ground. His hands were empty the entire time, shot him. Now later on they come out saying, oh well, he had a gun on him and he resisted arrest. One, the police didn't even know he had a gun on him. His hands were empty the entire time. Two, they weren't called for him. And the one thing that irritates me and really pisses me off about this whole thing, especially people that want to be oblivious about this whole thing, and I'm going to go out and say the war on black people, is don't resist arrest. Why the hell am I being arrested to begin with? That's the one thing that nobody, just because a cop come up and says, you're under arrest, like, why? You got to tell me something. So the fact that they have this man on video, both hands are completely empty. One cop is holding one hand, or one cop may be holding both hands. There's two on him, knee in the chest, knee in the neck. And I don't understand how he could possibly feel that his life is in danger at this point to shoot and kill this man. You can watch the video. It's all over social media.
And I would agree that they didn't know. I know some people are like, no, the police were called because he had a gun. If the police were called because he had a gun, their guns would have been drawn prior to the wrestling with him. If they thought he had an illegal gun on him and that he was harassing someone with a gun,
They would have approached
him. They would not have approached him without already drawing their guns. That we can see that. Look, Philando got shot just for telling him he had a legal gun.
He had a gun. Yeah.
That doesn't really, make sense.
So then the next day, Minnesota, Philando Castile, they were pulled over, I think, for a simple traffic stop. The cop asked for his ID. He said, they told the police officer, I have a gun and a permit. He asked for his ID. He went to reach for his ID and the cop shot him like four times.
Now, you know why they were really pulled over. Were you able to read the transcript?
No, I didn't read all of it.
So supposedly they fit the description of two people who had committed armed robbery, I think either earlier the day or the day before. And in the transcript, when he called it in, he was like, the guy has a wide set nose. So that was the fitting of the description.
Marcus, Cy, Kai,
Angel,
my brother, my dad, every single cousin I have and black person I know.
Wide set nose. But wide set nose. What were you going to say? What was the point?
Oh, yeah. So reaching for his ID, they shot this man four times in a car with a little child in the back seat.
One man shot him four times.
One man shot him. shot into a vehicle with a child in it. If that doesn't spell murder and untrained person and any other type of whatever you want to call it, hate or whatever he may have had in his heart at the time, I don't know what does. Like I said, this is nothing new. And one thing I was telling Angel right before we started this, she was like, well, let's get this recorded. Is so after that in Dallas, they had a Black Lives Matter protest and cops were out. Everybody was being friendly and everybody getting along. They, you know, marching together, unity. And then they say you get here reports of 3 or 4 gunmen. Then you hear a report, oh, there were shots coming from 5 or 6 different directions. And then all of a sudden, everything's narrowed down to one guy, and he was blown up, and there's no trace of him. And he basically, the police chief read some statement saying, I don't know how they were able to talk to this guy, get a statement from him, and then blow him up. That makes no sense to me. I don't trust anything that was said about that whole story. Yes, it's sad, absolutely sad. No cop should be shot. No innocent civilian should be shot. And what I was talking to Angel about is what irritates me and what's extremely disappointing me about President Barack Obama is the words he chooses to use when describing these cops getting killed is, you can tell it's passionate. He's offended by it. His statement was, if you shoot a cop or you threaten a cop, you're threatening all of us. I'm like, that's the exact same for civilians. When you kill an innocent civilian or shoot a civilian, you're threatening all of us. Like, how should he feel? If he wasn't president, how would he feel in Baton Rouge or Minnesota or anywhere in the United States? Like, this really pisses me off, the fact that when he's talking about shooting innocent or unarmed black men, it's just, he comes off as, oh, well, America needs to do better. There's a real problem and we need to fix it. You've had a long time to fix this. This ain't nothing new. If a cop is shot, which I feel horrible for those families, but if a cop is shot, is there's no cause for this. This is a cowardly act. These are cowards that's doing this. What's more cowardly than a man firing in a car with a little child in the car? What's more cowardly than two guys tackling a guy, having their knee in his chest and shooting him point blank? So that's and the fact that this man looks like me, you know, in a sense, you know, I'm really disappointed in him. I'm like, really? I mean, when I expected him to be a lot more, actually throughout his entire term, not just what's going on right now, but the fact that like I said, his choice of words and his way of going about doing it is just offensive to me. I don't appreciate how he's going about handling these situations.
Okay, rewind back. What about, I'm going to go back to the Dallas shooting. You were like, I don't trust anything that's being said. What do you feel like is being covered up? Now, don't get me wrong. I feel like there's something missing, and not missing to the point that it's going to make police officers look better or black people look worse, but it does. If the way stuff is being reported now, I can understand them not knowing how many shooters there were or what direction, because it was chaos. So I can understand
chaos, echo, you never know,
all of that being not reported correctly because it's not something that was expected. But what makes it feels like you're suspicious? What makes you suspicious?
I'm suspicious of that act in general, of this one guy deciding he's just gonna go rage war on cops. Not to say that it didn't happen, I'm not doubting that at all, but it's just the way it was reported, it just doesn't add up to me. Like, it's just the fact that they had this statement and the guy saying I can't remember the exact words police chief.
I want to kill white people, especially white cops. I know there was like something about what he said.
I don't know. It just something rubs me the wrong way. Like, I wish I had more than just cops or the police chief then granted, that police chief has, I think they say, fired over 70 cops for unlawful acts. So I applaud him for trying to keep a close eye on people doing wrong. But the fact that they all stick together. The fact that, you know, everybody, we're trying to work toward this whole thing of stop these internal affair investigations, because they always just get let go because they all work together. Same thing in this case. I don't know. Not to say that this guy didn't go out there and shoot them, but I don't know. It just doesn't sound right to me. I can't really put my finger on it.
Yeah, I'm trying to get where you're going. I can't figure out what you're figure out what you're trying to say. I feel like it happened. The only part that seems weird to me is that if they were able to talk to him, why there's no like recorded conversation.
Right.
And
it's all those little things.
They were
able to talk to this guy.
Right.
And apparently they were able to get like 5 or 6 sentences. So what led you to blowing him up? I've never heard of cops using bombs to blow people up. I could see, I don't know, even though SWAT teams do that. You know, they got flash, what they call flash bombs. They just disorient people, throw gas in the thing and choke him out. Like, really? You used a bomb to explode the guy?
And the reason why that does make me go, is because I would think they would want to potentially interrogate him to make sure there were no other attacks coming. That's the only thing that makes me go, the fact what that you happened? Have, or, and they might have just been acting out of anger in that moment, but a part of it does make me go.
The fact that you have our U.S. military goes after other troops in other countries in bunkers, and they know that they're armed, and they know they want to kill them, and they can gas them out.
That's U.S. military.
The police departments are militarized.
Yeah, but
they had a bomb to kill him. Listen, that's military tactics.
I agree, but we're also talking about, at the same time, we're talking about people who are not very well trained, and that's why they're shooting black people up.
Like, yeah, and that's another. Okay, so you have
they busting open.
You have people that go and fight off enemies of the United States in other countries that are more trained than people that have to protect people here in the United States.
But I want to talk about something that I would rather talk about. Mm-hmm. We hit your stuff. So I've been watching all of this happen and unfold. And of course, there have been protest after protest after protest. And then I started getting text messages about boycotts.
Yeah.
And I'm not here for it. And let me say this. I do not look down on anyone, obviously, that protests, because you're doing something. Like this, what I do is use my social media platform. So that's not saying I'm doing anything better, but nothing has changed in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Like, and granted, let me say this. I wasn't around on the civil rights movement, so no telling how many darn walks and protests they had to do before something moved. But I feel like we're in a different day and age, and they've been protesting. How long ago was Trayvon Martin? 3 years almost?
Yeah, it's. And well, the problem is people aren't desperate enough to protest correctly. Like they protest because, of course, everybody knows about the bus boycott. Oh, you saying protest? You said protest, and I started thinking boycott. Yes, protesting. Continue.
So I don't feel like the people who have the power to change things immediately, the lawmakers, are taking these protests seriously.
Yeah. It's like you said before, it's kind of like a tantrum.
Those are boycotts. So let's move on to the boycotts.
Protests too.
Yeah. Well, the boycotts.
It's like, they're causing traffic jams. They're holding up signs. Give them a day or two and they'll go back home. And
I feel like that's how it's being.
No, that's how it's being looked at by the people being protests. They don't care.
I don't see any type of, like, the media does report it, but it's, I don't see any law official, like, I haven't heard any of our people that are representing where we live talking about. Granted, we haven't had like police shootings where we live or anything like that, but it's not something that I feel like is at the forefront of their mind. They don't care. And the same thing with some of the protests that, not protests, boycotts that I get text messages about, talking about we're going to boycott. I remember Black Friday, when people were supposed to be boycotting Black Friday, which I will not do because it makes no sense. Economically, it makes literally no sense to boycott one day of shopping where everything is cheaper in order to just go back the next day and buy stuff at a higher price. You are then, you're just making more money for the people that you're trying to make understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, we were talking about boycotting and how people, as I started saying before, people aren't desperate enough. Like, people talk about the Montgomery. What are the bus boycotts?
Mm-hmm.
Montgomery.
Those boycotts back then.
Yeah, they lasted for over a year. And right now, people are talking about, July so-and-so for 24 hours, don't shop at all, or don't buy gas. I'm like, that ain't going to do nothing. That's like laughable. And it was recently one, they were talking about boycotting like certain stores for 30 days. That will do absolutely nothing.
In my opinion, like, economically, it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't make sense to me. And the other reason why, I also don't think people realize how much more difficult it is to boycott things now. Mm. Because let's think, back in the day, during segregation, people could boycott a business like the bus company, and then they would just walk to work, or they could boycott a diner and no longer eat there. Now, so many of the things we do are integrated with other things. So just because you boycott this one business, if you're still buying something here, you're still possibly putting money in the pocket of that business.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? Because there's so many, it's way more integrated now. Like, you can't, this is not mom and pop stores where if you stop shopping at a mom and pop store, they go out of business. We're talking about
corporations.
Huge corporations that are tied to other smaller corporations. So if you stop shopping at Walmart, but you start buying stuff off of Amazon, no telling whose pockets you're still putting money into.
When you boycott or stop money flow like that, it's like cutting off oxygen. And the short amount of time that they're talking about boycotting is like holding your breath. So when it's time to go back shopping at those places, everybody's just going to go buy everything up. They're going to have a huge influx of merchandise sold, and the problem's not fixed. In order to boycott correctly, people need to understand you have to damn near cripple the economy of that specific area. So that's why when people talk about, oh, support your own, you have to do that indefinitely in order for a change to be seen. You can't do anything for 30, it can't have an end date. It can't, oh, we're going to do this for 30 days, 90 days. No, we're going to do this until we see a change. Even if you cause a change, it ain't going to happen within 30 days. It ain't going to happen within 90 days.
And
it might not happen for a year.
And I'm all about supporting our own regardless. So supporting small businesses, supporting your culture. Like, I love that's something that I see Jewish culture do. I see Asian cultures do. We don't do it as hard as we could in the African-American community because I think a lot of times our businesses are spread apart. But even that, even a lot of times the bigger businesses, we're still tied into this.
We're tied
into the U.S. so much that you're still going to be putting money into the hands of people that you're trying to keep money from in a way. I mean, you would be making somewhat of an impact, but we're more integrated. We're not in segregation anymore, where when we stop putting dollars into other businesses that we can keep it with on in our own community. No, because even small businesses, if you're a t-shirt maker, you're more than likely getting your t-shirts made, like manufactured by a company
right
that is not owned by a black person. You know what I'm saying? So anyway,
or that is not owned by a corporation, like a huge corporation.
You know, No. That's the exact opposite of what I'm saying, is that if you are somebody like Albert, who would make t-shirts,
he's buying his shirts from
a huge corporation.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said it's not.
No.
And the thing is that I don't have an answer to how to make this work. I really don't. We're so integrated that the boycotts don't work in the same way as they did in the 50s and in the 60s. So I don't know. I just have to think on it. I have to think on it harder because I'm not trying to bash these things. It's just
I'm not bashing them at all.
I'm not signing up for them because it doesn't make sense to me. But real quick, going back before our camera dies on the police shootings. Now, let's make it clear. Neither one of us condone the shooting of these officers.
Yeah.
I don't care.
It's a horrible act. I mean, it is.
Marcus had told me before we started shooting that, like, they had said that a couple of the officers in Dallas might have been affiliated with the Ku Klux Klan. The shooter didn't know it before he shot them. Like these cops don't know these men's records before they shoot them all
right,
over the
exactly.
chest.
Right, exactly. It's a horrible act.
But what I will say is that I feel like this is what desperation looks like.
Yeah.
Don't know the motives of these men because they're dead. But if their motives have anything to do with what's going on in America, with the killing of and the targeting of African Americans, especially African American men, when you get to a desperate place, I'm not shocked that desperate things are starting to happen.
Yeah.
When you feel like nobody's listening to you, you start doing things that don't seem rational to anybody else. And another thing, really quickly, because the camera is about to die, is that because I know somebody will say, but white people get killed more by the police. Now, let's say there are substantially more Caucasian Americans in the United States. Black men only make up 6% of the U.S. population. However, they make up 40% of all homicides caused by police. So you can see how disproportionate that is. African Americans are 2.5 more times likely to be shot by the police than any other race.
Armed or unarmed.
Yeah.
So please don't go by our word. Do your research.
So I just want to go ahead and throw that whole thing out of the.
Yeah,
we're not saying that police shootings of any race is okay, like other than black people.
But it's unproportionately aimed toward black people. That's what we're saying. And one more reason that a lot of people are getting frustrated is, you say all cops aren't bad, and a lot of people are getting frustrated is, why aren't the good cops speaking out about the bad cops? Being that there are so few bad cops, everyone speak out. I think that's a lot of people's frustration. If they're truly the minority, then if enough people speak out, we can start weeding out.
But you saw what happened to the one woman. She got suspended. Yeah, that
was exactly one woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's one woman.
Yeah,
but you see the uproar that one woman caused.
Right.
Yeah, if you have 50 of those type of people, then we're getting somewhere.
Look, you saw the suit that there's like 8 police officers filing suit against. I think it's in New York.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, yes. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. We need more of that, but that's a whole different discussion.
It is.
Camera's about to die, y'all.
It is. So, you know, we want to keep this conversation going.
Yeah.
Please, if you have something to add to this.
Absolutely. We had a couple. We ain't afraid to talk about these issues.
Leave it in the comments below using the hashtag ITGTCAA. We'll be back next week. I'm not sure if we'll still stay on this topic or if we'll move to a lighter note. No telling what's happening in the world. Y'all just...
Yeah, we need a lighter note. I think everybody's getting enough of all the chaos.
It's been sad. It's been really, really sad.
We want to lighten y'all's day too, but we do feel a need to talk about these things.
Yeah, so... you know, if you all have any ideas of how we can move forward, I do feel like conversation is a huge thing. That's why me and Carly, most of y'all guests from the Periscope, me and her, we had a come to Jesus moment and we talked and we both got a better understanding of where each other was coming from. But I feel like conversation is a good way to do this. And conversation not just amongst black people, but conversation amongst all the races, because look here. Yeah. If we don't, this is about to go down real bad.
Yeah.
So anyways, check us out next Wednesday, and we'll be putting all of our content up. I don't know what he's going to be doing for TED Talks.
I got to do something, y'all. It's been crazy, like I've been saying. But
yeah, he going to do something.
So I'm going to do something for TED Talks.
All right, guys, please share this podcast with everybody you know.
Absolutely. And like, subscribe, share, comment.
We'll talk to y'all.
Absolutely. And please be safe. Everybody be safe. Whether
please.
You're civilian, law enforcement, if you have law enforcement, your
take
family,
care of yourself.
Or black people in your family or anybody. Of any company, family.
Be safe, because everybody seems like they're dying in these streets. Everybody. So
they getting everybody out here. They raping everybody, dude.
Yes, look here. Hide your wife, hide your kids.
Yeah, hide your wife, hide your kids.
All right. All right, guys. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Have a good one.
Bye.